In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who is born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." King Herod heard this. He was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, at our house, we've pretty much taken down most of our Christmas decorations, save two things. We still have our outside lights up, and we still have our nativities up. The lights remind us that not only that Jesus is the light of the world, but also that star that we read about leading the wise men to search for the child who was born to be king. Of note in this passage is that those kings, or as wise men, which is, I'll tell you why in a minute, that's a better interpretation, they didn't initially go to Bethlehem, and I explained to the children why. The reason is you didn't find kings in Bethlehem. And when they come to Herod, he's as surprised to hear the report as they are to find out that that Jesus, or this king they're searching for, is not there. They are, after all, foreigners, not familiar with the prophetic text that's from Micah, which is embedded in that reading. Of note is that also Herod himself is not familiar with that prophecy. Note that. He's not a very good Jew, I don't think. The wise men are told the prophecy by Herod, who sends them out on a covert mission to find this child. Now, when I was growing up, I always thought it was weird that Herod could command three kings to do anything. But despite the popular song, which we will sing in a few minutes, these were not kings. The word in the Greek is magos, from which we get magi, heard that, or magicians. They are not likely royalty, rather they're mystics or maybe even astrologers. So Herod starts off, it's interesting, his statement to them. He starts off by saying go, and when he says go, it's kind of a gentle way. He's not telling them, it's not a command, but by the end of his statement, when he states, "Bring me word," it is in the form of a command. It's interesting because I think it's as Herod is talking to them, he is realizing the threat to his kingship. And so he becomes more of a dictator, tells them what they're to go do. In the text, the sense is the star then begins to move to guide the wise men to Bethlehem. Whether the star moved or whether the magi has some kind of spiritual insight as to where the child will be found, well, God only knows. No one is alive from that day to tell us either way. Nonetheless, they arrive at the house, and I'm sorry if this dismantles your manger scene. I know it does ours, but Jesus was most likely at this point in temporary residence with his parents in a house. The star, the source of the wise men's insight, has guided them to this place. And despite all the appearances, they believe this is the place where the ruler of the cosmos has come in the flesh. These magic men from different countries east of Judea are united in a common worship of a child in a common house. And what happens next is of profound importance. They bring gifts totally inappropriate for a baby. Think about that. Really? My kids didn't get gold or frankincense or myrrh. And yet, they are of great value and extreme significance for Jesus' life. Gold, royalty, frankincense and myrrh, healing properties they have that even prefigure Jesus' healing in the world, as well as being used at burials, which was to foreshadow his death. In these birth narratives of Jesus, what I find most interesting is what is happening between the lines of Scripture. In this case, the Magi offer these gifts to Jesus and not Mary. Mary's there, but they're not giving them to her, as if at this young age he could either accept or reject them. But more importantly, they give without any expectation, or at least none stated by them. They don't expect anything from him. They don't want anything from him. What a different position than perhaps Herod. In other words, they bring him their best, the best gifts from their lives, simply because they are overwhelmed with joy on seeing the cosmic Christ. And they are grateful for what his life will mean for the world. You know, so much of Christian faith has become transactional. We pray to God, we worship God, we serve God, often with an expectation that in doing so we will receive something of a treasure on earth in some form. The notion is only compounded by the season of Christmas gift giving, but it is not always materialistic. Sometimes we believe that if we are faithful to God, that God's faithfulness will be manifest in the repairing of our lives or the lives of those we love. In the right now, in the noticeable, an illness cured, a financial hardship miraculously alleviated, we expect something in return for worshiping our God. But if we are to take our lesson of worship and service to God from the wise men, I believe we learn how to serve God with joy because we understand more fully who Christ is, not just to us personally, but to the whole world and to the whole cosmos. In this reality, ultimately, our lives will be held together too. Perhaps not noticeably in this life, but most certainly in the life to come. The gifts we give, like the wise men, are not to show forth the reality of God in our midst in some kind of way to curry God's favor, but rather to express our gratitude for what God has done. We are faithful to God only because God is first faithful to us, and that God showed us in a child in Bethlehem. I think this is a fitting way for us to mark the commencement of the service of those who will serve as elders and deacons in this church. They are called to bring their best, called to serve Christ in this church and beyond, not because of what they're expecting to get out of it first and foremost, but because of what God has done and revealed to them, the faithfulness God has shown them, the light God has given them to be revealed to the nations. It is in that light that not only they, but we find our true calling. All of us bask in the light of Jesus. And so all of us are to share his life with others. This is the large meaning of the meal we share today. A life of Christ given for others. This is what will give us meaning in our lives until we meet him face to face. And so I want you to consider today, and not only today, but this year, that God has given each of you a unique gift of the Spirit, a gift that is precious, that is meant to be shared. How might you rely on the power of the Spirit to stay present and create openness for finding and revealing and activating that gift that God has given you in a way that show forth God's love in this world? Follow that star. Believe that it is possible for you to show forth the life of Jesus Christ in a way that others will say, I believe it. I have seen it. I want to know it for myself. In doing that this year, I think you will discover a renewed sense of joy and peace that only God can give. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. And all God's people said, Amen.